Basic Training, Tape 4, Side 2, Section 1. Comments about loading a dictionary file. Dictionary files for specific applications. The default config file names. Side 2, Section 2, Reading by Sentence. Side 2, Section 3, Reading by Paragraph. Side 2, Section 4, The Voice Extra Menu, unique to each synthesizer. Side 2, Section 5, Miscellaneous Items We Forgot to Mention.
Welcome to Side 2 of our Basic Training Tape number 4 for JAWS version 2.3 from Henter Joyce. We were talking about the dictionary editor and saving the dictionary file on the disk. I just want to add a little bit to that. You also at times may want to load the dictionary file from disk. You may have a couple, you know, special dictionary files. You get into some program and you say, oh, I remember I already fixed that pronunciation, and you can go to your config files menu and load it, just like we did with save, the example we did with save on the other side of the tape. But instead of selecting, you know, save, just select load, and then you go through the same choices for files, macro, frame, environment, voice, and dictionary. And it uses the same logic as far as file naming. It goes to the default disk and subdirectory where JAWS was loaded from. Okay. Now, I want to stress again that point about the file name that JAWS suggests that you use. Like in our example, it suggested the name of JAWS because we are in DOS. And while you're in DOS, DOS, the disk operating system, JAWS is designed to use the JAWS configuration files, J-A-W-S. That's the default. And that's what gets loaded up automatically when you boot up JAWS. When you boot JAWS, it'll look on the disk for any configuration files that have the first name of JAWS, and it loads them up. So if you have a general purpose dictionary, and you want it loaded all every time you load up JAWS, just name it JAWS. If you do it from the config files menu, it automatically puts on the extension of JDF, JAWS dictionary file. So when you do a directory on your disk, it's going to come up as JAWS period JDF. And that will get loaded up automatically. And then let's say you have a special set of rules for Lotus 1-2-3, which is called 1-2-3. If you're in 1-2-3, when you create the dictionary and you go to save it, it's going to suggest the name 1-2-3, which is what you ought to go with, because then the next time you load up JAWS and run 1-2-3, JAWS will say, hey, we're running 1-2-3. It'll look on the disk, see the matching dictionary file name, and load it up automatically. You don't even have to touch it. So that's why JAWS suggests those names to you. It's telling you what file name it's going to load up automatically next time. So if that's what you want, take the suggestion and just hit the Enter key. If that's not what you want, you can name it, you know, however you like. Remember, the limits are up to 8 characters, 1 through 8 characters. And do not put the extension on there, because the config files menu automatically does that. It knows that you're loading a dictionary file, or a menu macro file, or a frame file, or whatever. And so you don't specify the extension, just the first part of the name. You can specify the disk drive and the subdirectory, in case you've want to save it in a weird subdirectory, or want to load it from a weird subdirectory, not the one that JAWS was loaded from. Then you can specify. When it asks for the file name, you just type in the disk drive letter followed by a colon, and then a backslash followed by the name of the subdirectory, and then a backslash followed by the name of the file. And that's the standard DOS convention for file naming. Let me put a beep on the tape. This is Section 2, Side 2, Tape 4, Basic Training. Now I want to talk about a couple of new features that that are new for JAWS version 2.3, and that is reading by sentence and reading by paragraph. Now, we learned previously, you know, how to read by character and word and line, and even field, you know, highlighted field of colors. Well, now, it's quite common to want to read by a sentence or by a paragraph. So on your numeric pad again, a shifted 5 on the numeric pad is read sentence. Say sentence, we call it. And that says or reads the current sentence. Just like say line and say word read the current line and current word. Well, say sentence reads the current sentence. It will, wherever the cursor is in that sentence, the cursor does not need to be at the beginning. The cursor can be at the end or the middle, wherever. JAWS will look to the left till it finds the beginning of the sentence, then look to the right till it finds the end of the sentence, and then read everything in between the beginning and the end. And it will attempt to leave the cursor at exactly the same spot where it started. I say attempt because sometimes it will have to scroll the screen up or down to find the beginning or the end. If you're in a word processor and the end of the sentence starts above the top of the screen, the word processor will actually scroll the text down so JAWS can find the beginning of the sentence. And then JAWS goes to the end of the sentence, but now the word you are on, instead of being on line 1, is now maybe down on line 3. So JAWS does try to keep track of that, and usually will, but not always. So, say sentence will read the sentence you're in and leave the cursor where you started. And as I talked about before with say line, leaving the cursor where it is instead of moving it back to the beginning, that's a very useful feature. Well, what if you want to get back to the beginning of the sentence? Well, do an shift 4 on the numeric pad. That's a left arrow. And that will move you to the prior sentence. We call it say prior sentence. Actually, what it does, it takes you to the beginning of the sentence you're in. And then if you're already at the beginning of that sentence, then it takes you to the beginning of the prior sentence. And that's an important concept to keep in mind. If you're down in the middle of the sentence or the end of the sentence, you do a say prior sentence, it'll take you to the beginning of the sentence you're in. You do it again, it'll take you to the beginning of the previous sentence. And again, it'll take you to the previous sentence to that. So it keeps going back sentence at a time. And again, it will scroll the screen if the word processor, whatever application you're in, you know, will scroll it. Of course, to do that, you have to have the PC cursor on. If you want the word processor or the application program to move the screen, you need to have the PC cursor on because JAWS is telling it, hey, move this, move up, move up, move up. I need some more information. So the application program may or may not heed that request. If you have the JAWS cursor on, the same keys apply in shifted 5 or shifted 4 on the numpad, but the JAWS cursor is limited to just what's visible on the screen. It will not tell the application program to move. So a shifted 4 is say prior sentence, a shifted 5 is say sentence. So what do you think is say next sentence? Well, it's a shifted 6. All those keys are on the same row on the numeric pad. The say next sentence will go to the beginning of the next sentence. Or at least it will try to, you know, assuming there is a next sentence. And it will put the cursor on the first character of the first word of the next sentence. It doesn't go to the beginning of the sentence you're in, it doesn't go to the end of the sentence you're in. Wherever you are in the sentence you're in, it will take you to the beginning of the next sentence. Okay, so that's a shifted 4-5-6 on the cursor pad. The JAWS cursor is limited to just the information that's visible on the screen. The PC cursor, when it needs to move, it will attempt to scroll the screen. At least it will ask the application program, you know, to scroll the screen. And many times, let's say in a word processor, it will. Many times it will not, depending on if the application, you know, can move the screen up or down or not. Depending, because many times, let's say in our example of the Constitution, if you're on that title and you do a prior sentence, well, there are no prior sentences. But JAWS is going to keep looking because it doesn't see the beginning of a sentence. So it doesn't know when it's at the start of the current sentence until it finds the end of the previous sentence. So it's going to keep trying to go up and up and up, and it can't. So pretty soon it'll beep at you saying, hey, I can't move any further, and then stop and say what it has there. And when I say pretty soon, I mean like less than a second. If things aren't happening within about a half a second or so, JAWS knows, well, they're not going to happen. So it beeps and says, all right, we'll just read what we got. Now, if you think about what I just said, it's very difficult to tell the beginning of a sentence. Even for humans, you can't rely on the letter being uppercase, and you can't rely on having two spaces followed by an uppercase letter, not when you're dealing with computers, because that appears, you know, so frequently. So what we do is we look for the end of a sentence. So if I want to get to the beginning of one sentence, I look for the end of the sentence before that, and then I go to the right a little bit, or down, whatever the case may be. And through a series of steps, we figure out, okay, this must be the start of the sentence. You know, just like moving to the next sentence, we first look for the end of the sentence we're in, and then we figure, okay, the next character that pops up here is going to be the beginning of the next sentence. So we do it that way. And computers, regardless of what you might think, just aren't as smart as most human beings, so the computer will make a mistake sometimes. But play with it. Give it a try. That's prior sentence, say sentence, and next sentence. Here's a beep. Section 3, side 2, tape 4, basic training. Now I want to talk about paragraphs, reading by paragraphs. Say paragraph, say prior paragraph, say next paragraph. This is very similar to what I said about sentences, although of course a paragraph is a different block of text. But basically the things apply about scrolling the screen and limiting, you know, the JAWS cursor is limited to the visible screen. The PC cursor will try to scroll the screen up or down. Say paragraph looks backwards or upward for the beginning of the paragraph, and then starts reading until it gets to the end of the paragraph. And then it puts the cursor back where it started, at least it tries to. And say prior paragraph will first take you to the beginning or the start of the paragraph you're in. And if you're already there, then it will take you to the start of the prior paragraph. Next paragraph will take you to the start of the next paragraph. Now, what is a paragraph? Well, as far as JAWS is concerned, a paragraph has a blank line above it and a blank line below it. It does not look at indents. And so it will work with some, you know, blocked format text that don't use indents either. Also, it will work on those word processors that automatically indent all your text. So we couldn't rely on looking at an indent, so we went for a blank line. So JAWS, when you tell it to read the current paragraph, it will start where it is and start looking backward to the left and up for a blank line. When it finds that, then it goes downward a little bit till the first character it comes to, and that figures that's the start of the paragraph. And it will try and scroll the screen if the PC cursor's on. It will be limited by the top of the screen or the bottom of the screen if the JAWS cursor is on. So what keys do you use for paragraphs? Well, as the default, you know, the basic, the beginning layout, use a shifted page up on the numeric pad for prior paragraph, say prior paragraph, a shifted page down on the numeric pad for, say, next paragraph. Well, a key right in between those two on most numeric pads, physically at least, is the right arrow. Well, that's already used. So to say the current paragraph, we use a shifted plus on the numeric pad, which usually is just to the right of the right arrow. So now those keys can be moved around. Remember we touched upon the macro duplicate function? So you can move the keys with a macro duplicate. And that is covered on the macros training tape. Okay, So that's paragraphs, and I'll put a beep on the tape. Now, there's a couple things that I, after reviewing the tapes, a few things that I left out. Well, we'll talk about this section. Section 5 is the voice extra menu. You go to the voices menu and then hit E for extra.
Jaws main menu.
I'll do a say word.
Voice.
So on voice, I can do a down arrow to select that.
Global.
And then I can move over to the right.
Keyboard, screen, speech pad, Jaws cursor, universal, extra.
There it is, extra. Go down into that.
Comma pause.
Here I'm using the Dectalk PC, and I have comma pause.
Period pause.
And period pause.
Comma pause.
And I'm back to comma pause. This menu has extra features for your synthesizer. They're not that don't fit well into the other voice menus we have, like volume rate, pitch, tone, or universal. And these features are unique for each synthesizer. Like here on the Dectalk, we have a comma pause, which is how long does it pause for a comma, and how long does it pause for a period. But on other synthesizers, like for example the Accent, there's a fast processing on and off, intonation level, abbreviations, hard A, so it says A or ah, pause between words, stress for single characters, things like that. So to see what you've got for your synthesizer, just go to the Voice Extra menu and the choices will be there. They're also in the manual. There's a chapter on each synthesizer and it'll tell you what the extra features are there. And you can, the best thing to do is just mess around with them. Experiment. Trial and error. See how you like it. Like in the Dectalk here, it pauses for commas and pauses for periods already, but you get to adjust it.
Comma pause.
I'm on comma pause. I'll go down arrow.
One.
And I'll do a say line.
0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
So I have a choice from 0 to 8. And so you get to select the amount of pause that it does. Now remember, this is just for the Dectalk, so don't be confused if yours doesn't have this. Just take a look at what's in there for your synthesizer. By the way, this is section 4. I made a mistake and called it section 5. I'll put a beep on the tape. This is the real section 5. Previously I said the previous section was 5, but this is really 5. Now we're talking about other items I forgot to fill in. We talked about sentences a few sections back, and I didn't tell you how Jaws knows what the end of or the beginning of a sentence. All right, it looks for a period, question mark, or exclamation point, followed by two spaces or more, followed by two or more spaces. Or it looks for a period, question mark, or exclamation point, followed by a quote mark in two or more spaces. Or a period, question mark, exclamation, followed by a single digit, and then two spaces. The single digit is for a footnote mark, like WordPerfect uses. Also, following the period, question mark, or exclamation could be a graphic character, such as the hard return mark in WordPerfect and other word processors. All those Jaws will recognize as the end of a sentence. Jaws also, when searching for the beginning of a sentence, looks for the end of the previous sentence, because there is no other way to tell where the beginning of the sentence is. You just got to look for the end of the sentence in front of it. So what Jaws will not recognize as the end or the beginning of a sentence is a period followed by a letter or some other punctuation character, or period, exclamation, or question mark, followed by a letter or some other punctuation. There's just certain things that it does recognize, and all of them are going to have to be like a period followed by a single digit. Still, will have to have two spaces following it, or at least two spaces, or a graphic character, which is the hard return. Now, there's one situation that I know Jaws can get confused on, so just keep that in mind. We try to have tell it, if you see a period followed by a single digit followed by more than two spaces or more, then that's the end of a sentence. However, what will confuse it is if you have a decimal point, like 5.3, and then the rest of the line is blank, that just happens to be at the end of the line, JAWS will think of that as the end of the sentence. And it's just some confusion there, because, you know, sentences just aren't all that clear what the end nor the beginning is. Now, to a human being, we can look at a lot more and use some more logic. Now, we could have done the same thing with JAWS, sure, but there's always a price to pay when you're writing software, so we didn't. So you might, on rare occasions, run into a decimal point followed by a single digit at the end of a line, and JAWS will think of that as the end of a sentence. But don't worry about that. Those are rare occurrences. Actually, JAWS is very smart in recognizing all the different things it does recognize for the end of a sentence, you know, with the footnotes and all that stuff. So give it a try, and if you have some better ideas for us, we'd love to hear from you about how to do that. I'm going to put a beep on the tape here.
This is the end of Side 2 of Tape 4 of the Basic Training Tapes for JAWS version 2.3. To reach us at Henter Joyce, please call 800-336-5658 or area code 813-528-8900. Our address is 2100 62nd Avenue North, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33702. Our fax number is area code 813-528-8901. And our BBS is 813-528-8903. Thank you for joining us.